Hello everybody, this is the translation of Pascal Girard's message for Sunday the 6th of February. Introduction. It is not the spectacular gifts and miracles that we can eventually perform and rejoice in that make our character and maturity visible. These are often trivial acts. Character and maturity manifest themselves first in our ordinary lives. In the passage from Ephesians, which we are going to take a closer look at today, Paul tells us how Christian growth is fostered and how we become mature, characterful Christians. Let's read this passage first. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 to 14. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up, until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God, and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves, and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Firstly, Christians are freed to serve. Paul tells us how God encourages Christians, that which strengthens the church. Surprisingly, God does not do this directly, but he acts, as is typically the case, with men. I could, in ancient times, cite a few encouragers. Moses, during the Exodus from Egypt. Joshua, during the conquest of the land of Canaan. The judges, certain kings, including Josiah, who put the word back at the centre of the life of the people. Then Ezra and Nehemiah for the reconstruction of Jerusalem, its temple and its protective walls. And closer to us, the Apostle Paul, for example, whose gratitude for the churches and the exhortations addressed to Christians are further encouragement for us. God's idea is that after becoming Christians, we should be integrated and encouraged into the community of Christians. And now, to strengthen the church, Jesus empowers people. Paul writes, "It is he who has gifted some as apostles, others as prophets, others as preachers of the gospel, and still others, like shepherds, as teachers." We can assume that Paul was thinking first of the apostles who were witnesses to the resurrection of Jesus, whose task was obvious when one realizes how quickly the false teachers wanted to push this new movement in another direction. Luke's remark about the early Christians in Jerusalem shows us how important these apostles were. They persevered in the teaching of the apostles, Acts chapter 2, verse 42. I do not know if we would immediately say of our church that we remain in the teaching of the apostles. We evoke more fidelity to Jesus, the presence of God, the action of the Holy Spirit, praise, which is extraordinarily important, and we evoke much less Christian doctrines. All of these topics are fair and important and should not be dismissed, because that is exactly what the apostles teach us, and if they had not taught it to us, we would not know it. It is therefore important that we know the teaching of the apostles well, so that our lives can develop healthily. Jesus himself had recourse to prophets and often quoted their words. Reread the Sermon on the Mount in the Gospel of Matthew, which cites several commandments among the 10 received by Moses, and go to the penultimate chapter of the book by reading this last word, Matthew 27, verse 46. My God, why have you forsaken me? Which is a quote from Psalm 22 by David. And again, after his resurrection, Jesus, who had met some disciples on the road to Emmaus, explained to them what had happened, also on the basis of the writings of the Old Testament. Luke reports, "And the beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself." Paul also referred to the prophets, even to the prophets of his day. He was told that he would be arrested in Jerusalem, and that indeed happened. and it could also refer to the writings of the Old Testament. The people of Jerusalem and their rulers did not recognize Jesus, yet in condemning him they fulfilled the words of the prophets that are read every Sabbath. Acts chapter 13, verse 27. I will quote Peter, who quotes Moses from Deuteronomy 18. For Moses said, "The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among your own people. You must listen to everything he tells you." Acts chapter 3, verse 22. Stephen makes the same quote in his last words before being stoned in Acts chapter 7 and verse 37. The book of Acts, again in chapter 8, reports that the Ethiopian was reading the prophet Isaiah and that from this text the evangelist Philip told him about Jesus. The first Christians then had only the Old Testament at their disposal. They explain the life, death, resurrection and ascension of Jesus based on these prophetic writings. We see this in the remark made in the Acts of the Apostles about the Jews of Berea. For they received the message with great eagerness and examined the scriptures every day to see if what Paul said was true, Acts 17 verse 11. These scriptures were the ones we have today in the Old Testament. In this context, it is interesting to see how Revelation describes the new Jerusalem that will one day come down from heaven to earth. This new Jerusalem will have 12 city gates. We read in Revelations chapter 21 and verse 12, "It had a great high wall with 12 gates, and with 12 angels at the gates. On the gates were written the names of the 12 tribes of Israel." These tribes of Israel represent the epoch of the Old Testament and the promises God made to the people of Israel, the record of fundamental events that are important to our faith. But the city will also have 12 foundation stones. The wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them were the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. Revelations 21 verse 14. The foundation stones that support the wall and on which were also the 12 gates bear the names of the apostles and symbolize, for me, the teaching of the apostles and the new covenant. In fact, one would expect the tribes of Israel to be the foundation, but they are precisely the apostles and their teaching that is passed down to us in the New Testament. God institutes and empowers others to support Christians in their growth. It is He who has gifted some as preachers of the gospel and still others like shepherds as teachers. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 11. These people exercise their ministry on the basis of the foundation laid, the prophets and the apostles. They do not bring new doctrines to the church, but they teach and act on the basis of the teaching given by the apostles and the prophets. We find this concept already in the Old Testament. Thus, evangelists, shepherds, and teachers support Christians and thus promote healthy growth in the church. These are extraordinarily important tasks that these people have to perform. He gave these gifts to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. It is not the individual Christian who is in the line of fire. It is about something much bigger, the body of Christ, the church. The church is built and grows only if believers participate in the life of the church. To the Christians in Corinth, Paul wrote, "And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again." 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 15. We live for Christ and not for ourselves. God gave the best for us. He sacrificed his Son so that we could be reconciled with him. We can now lead the life that fulfills us and for which we were created. We can now live according to our original destiny. Secondly, Christians know Christ. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors and teachers are working towards an important objective because together we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 13. It is by knowing Jesus better that we will become mature and adult Christians. Paul is sharing a very important idea with us here. When we become Christians, we understand what Jesus did for us on the cross. We have understood that Jesus is God, but we don't know Jesus very well yet. It's like starting a new job and getting to know my colleagues. I then know that these people exist, and I may already know their names and functions, but nothing more. The longer and more intensively I work with them, the more I get to know them. The same is true when we meet Jesus for the first time. We know him and know who he is, but we will get to know him better and better over time. God does not expect us, when we become Christians, to be immediately adult and mature. We have time to grow. We read in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2, "Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation." It is the word transmitted in the Old and New Testaments. This word of God is the beginning of a process by which we shed our erroneous opinions and beliefs and acquire new ones. This process leads me to know Jesus better and to discover the richness we have in Jesus. It goes without saying that the woman is taken into account here. She is also the accomplished woman. It still means that as Christians we can become adults. We can become perfect. I would almost bet most of us would say that we are not yet perfect and mature in the faith. Indeed, we would not succeed in this life if that was the case. Paul would have told us something wrong, or else he would have set the bar so high that everyone would have to fail. We are not perfect, we don't always do everything right, and we will still sin, and we still have to grow so that we are no longer infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Ephesians 4 verse 14. Paul had a painful experience of how quickly immature Christians, though born again and indwelt by the Holy Spirit, turned away from sound doctrine. Indignant and saddened, he wrote to the Christians of Galatia on this subject. "I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you to live in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all." Evidently some people are. Galatians 1 verse 6. Paul also lamented the immature credulity of the Corinthian Christians in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 verse 4. There would still be many examples in the New Testament that show us how immature Christians turned away from sound doctrine. In the Hebrews, Christians are even reproached for not having grown up, but for still being like young children. In the original text it reads, in Hebrews chapter 5 verse 12, "Indeed, after all this time you should be masters in the things of God, yet you again need to be taught the rudiments of the words of God. You have come to a place where you need not solid food, but milk." This does not make them viable as Christians at all, for it is further said, "Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness." Hebrews chapter 5 verse 13. At what stage can we situate ourselves? Are we already mature, adult Christians, able to recognise and resist false doctrine? Are we, on the contrary, destabilised by the slightest gust of wind, the slightest wave of teaching, the slightest twist of fate? We grow up by getting to know Jesus better, and we do that primarily by studying the Bible. A final thought. Growth is conceived individually and collectively. We really have no choice but to go get to know Jesus better together. For this, Jesus uses prophets, apostles, evangelists, shepherds, and teachers. It is Paul's concern for the Christians of Ephesus, and it would also be his concern for us today, that we be founded in Jesus, and this will have the following consequences. I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 18 and 19. The Bible allows us to understand the issues of life and faith. It helps us to grow and become adults. Amen.